Welcome to CFRI Cystic Fibrosis Community Voices, a video podcast series created by and for the cystic fibrosis community.
Hi, I'm Elise Alconin Goldberg, and today I'm going to be talking about staying positive through declining pulmonary function tests, my pre-double lung transplant experience. A little bit about me. I was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis when I was 3 years old. At that time, the average life expectancy was 10 years old. I'm thrilled to share that I recently celebrated my 59th birthday. My husband and I have been married for 33 years, and we have two grown children, ages 21 and 24. 4.5 years ago, I had a double lung transplant. One of the greatest joys post-transplant has been becoming a grandmother, something I never, ever expected to experience. I am also a CFRI board member, a member of the Lung Transplant Patient Family Advisory Council at Stanford, and a member of Donor Network West. This photo was taken before I was wheeled in to the pre-op surgical suite for my double lung transplant. Thumbs up is a gesture that has always been my way of staying positive, reassuring loved ones, and it reflects my sense of humor and optimism. The phrase thumbs up provided the perfect framework for today's podcast. Represented here is time, humor, understanding, motivation, blessings, support, unique, and patience and purpose. Time. Over time, I had a steady progression of more advanced lung disease and a decline in my overall health. Hospitalizations increased and living with CF became increasingly more difficult. Each time I came down with yet another pulmonary exacerbation, I seemed to take a step down in what I was able to do. I would try to do a reset of my expectations of myself and come to a place of acceptance. However, I began to get scared and very worried. I thought a lot about how much more time I would have. I wondered whether I would be alive the following year to celebrate birthdays and holidays with my family and friends. In 2012, I caught a virus called RSV. This was the game changer for me, and my lung function spiraled downward. As my respiratory issues worsened, I found myself in a place I never imagined. Every breath became greater, a greater and greater challenge. I'll never forget the feeling of sitting on my bed and wanting to walk to the kitchen, but I just didn't have the breath to do it. Mind you, this wasn't a very long walk in our home. Every task was an effort. Showering, preparing meals, and the fatigue that set in after respiratory treatments was daunting. Time took on a new meaning for me. The time I needed to spend on health maintenance became all-consuming. 6 to 8 hours of respiratory treatments per day. The harsh reality of living with end-stage CF had arrived, and with that reality came fear, worry, and an abundance of what-ifs. Humor. Ironically, humor doesn't seem to go with fear and worry, but it eased my emotional pain. My husband often helped me with my chest percussion treatments. I think this dates me a little bit because I think everybody else now uses the vest, of which I did also use. But when he would tire of doing the clapping on my chest, he thought it was funny to tickle me. The laughing that resulted was a great way to clear my airways, as it always stimulated a huge coughing episode. I knew it was also key to humoring him so he would find this task a little bit more enjoyable. As those of us with CF know, doing pulmonary function tests is incredibly stressful and fraught with anxiety. As my lung function kept declining, I asked a favor of the respiratory therapist who routinely did my testing. I did not want to know the numbers, as they were not improving. Instead, I asked her to communicate the trend of my numbers by raising, lowering, or keeping her eyebrows even. For both of us, this became a game with lots of laughs, and we still joke that she can never, ever get Botox. Going on oxygen was an emotional transition for me. This was a physical representation of how ill I really was. Initially, I was very reluctant to use oxygen when going out in public. With time, I no longer had an option. So I got creative. I decided to put my portable oxygen tank in a camelback like the one pictured here. I removed the water bladder and I replaced it with an oxygen tank and a cannula. Thereby, Olivia was born. Understanding. Within our family, there was an understanding of the seriousness the turn in my health had taken. I tried to spend as much time as I could with my children, talking about their worries, fears, and concerns. At times, this was overwhelming, as I could not make any promises that my health would improve. I have to say, they were and continue to be very brave. Growing up with a mother who has a chronic illness can either bond a family or break it apart. I believe this journey has taught them compassion, empathy, and patience. They never made me feel like I was an embarrassment to them or not being the mother they needed. As much as I was reluctant to have their friends sleep over because of my medical regimen, they always tried to reassure me that nobody would be uncomfortable or, in their words, think it was weird. One amazing thing that I witnessed while on oxygen was the kindness and understanding of others. At times when I felt so alone and isolated, total strangers would engage me in conversation and offer their help with loading groceries in my car or encourage me to go ahead in a line at the market, post office, or other venues. I want to believe this was because of me being on oxygen, not because they thought I was so old. In May of 2013, I was listed for transplant. My family and I had a new feeling of hope. However, this journey presented a myriad of other worries, fears, and concerns. It was a time that felt very unsettled, never knowing when the call would come and when what the outcome of the surgery would be. Motivation. This is a picture here of Olivia and I hiking. Ironically, one of the consistent pieces of advice I received from others who had been through transplant was to get in the best shape physically. Exercise has always played a big part in my life, but it had become more and more difficult as my lung function declined. Motivation to exercise was key to keeping a sense of normalcy and continuity in my life. What exercise I could tolerate was a wonderful mood elevator. One day, Olivia and I would try to go on the treadmill. Every day, Olivia and I would try to go on the treadmill or take a walk outside. It would often take me an hour or so to do a short neighborhood walk with lots of stopping and sitting, catching my breath. As frustrated as I was with my declining ability to walk, I always seemed to feel better emotionally afterwards. I actually did the treadmill on the morning that I got my call for transplant. On that day, I also had plans to go play a game with friends called Mahjong. When the call came in, the first thing I thought was, oh no, I hadn't showered, as the effort it took to shower and get ready to go to Mahjong was way too exhausting for me. I was reassured that that didn't matter. Pre-op procedures would do a great job of cleaning me up before surgery. Blessings. At the end of each day, I counted my blessings. No matter how sick I was getting, I knew it could get worse. In those moments, I needed to reaffirm all that was good in my life. This included my loving family, my incredibly supportive friends and extended community, also my CFRI family and the medical staff at Stanford who helped to keep my spirits up and encouraged me along the journey to transplant. Lastly, I have to mention my dog, Latte. She so patiently walked with me as my pace was slowing down day by day, and she faithfully kept watch and sat by me as I did my hours and hours of pulmonary treatments. Support. A big source of emotional support on my journey towards transplant was reaching out to others who had been through the surgery. I was so appreciative of their raw honesty, encouraging words, and very helpful advice. These relationships were and still are so very special to me. I have now become a peer-to-peer mentor for people on the transplant list at Stanford. Unique. Being a member of the Double Lung Transplant Club is quite a unique experience. As a pre-transplant patient, life was so isolating due to cross-infection issues. I'm very fortunate to have a close friend with CF, Bonnie Grossman. We have only met three times in the 25 years that we've known each other. It was through our weekly phone calls that our friendship grew, and she became a tremendous source of emotional support. Our transplant journeys were very different, but we supported each other every step of the way, through the emotional lows and the highs as well. Pictured here, we had a reunion in Southern California 3 weeks after Bonnie's transplant 2 years ago. Patience and purpose. I have learned that life really tests us. I thought my greatest test of patience was when my husband and I were going to start a family going through the adoption process. I later learned that being on the transplant list was the final exam when it came to patience. During this time, it was really welcoming to have distractions to make me feel productive and to have some purpose in my life other than focusing all the time on my declining health. I found knitting, reading, quilting, and small volunteer projects gave me the much-needed break from the monotony of CF treatments and health-related issues. In preparing for this podcast, I had to reflect on a time when my life was very uncertain. Gratefully, I had my transplant on September 17, 2013. Every day, I am thankful for the gift of life given to me by my donor and my donor's family. I would like to end with a quote by Jasmine Whitmore that feels close to my heart. At the end of the day, all you need is hope and strength. Hope that it will get better and strength to hold on until it does. Thank you.